Welcome to Hands at the Table. I'm your co-host, Jeff Bramhall. Alongside fellow massage therapist, Boris Aranyi, this podcast shows massage therapists how powerful our profession can be. We believe that as a craft and as a profession, massage therapy is only limited by a therapist's imagination and willingness to put in the work. By sharing what we're learning, what we're working on, and what's captured our interest, we hope to broaden your perspective, inspire you to set your standard high, and invest in your craft. Thank you for joining us.
And welcome back to Hands at the Table. Today, we are going to talk about a tactical and practical approach to heel pain from the perspective of both a massage therapist and as a movement therapist. So this is something that Bori brought up mostly, I think, because she's working with a client that she has an interesting case study with. And today we're going to explore how both of us would approach heel pain at a big level, but also how we talk about how we would approach this particular individual client. So, Bori, welcome back. What are you thinking about?
So, yeah, I have this client who's really interesting because she has been in care for a very long time, but still she has two different kind of heel pains on each side. So exactly. So one heel pain is more like the typical Achilles tendonitis, tendinosis, heel spur kind of deal. And then the other side, the left side, is actually more painful when she doesn't step on it, when it just hangs off. So it's really interesting that, first of all, that she has two different kinds on each side. And the most interesting part of it about it is like, how do I explain to her that why is that? Why is it not the same? So these are the things that I wanted to talk about, because like there's an approach for us, like how I go about it and what is my perspective and where will I start my therapies and what will I focus on? Versus there's also a thing that, you know, the clients want something and she has pain, a certain pain that she wants to get rid of. And she has a perspective about how other practitioners went about it, what she read about it on the internet, the most glorious Google. What did doctors tell her? So there are more things that needs to be like straightened out. And also, how do I communicate my strategics and how do I communicate my program to her that it's acceptable to her and she still gets something that she wants, but she also gets the things that she needs. That's why I brought it up, because it's kind of like a lot of people have these distant pains like foot pain, toe pain, wrist, elbow pain, or even like the knees and ankles and everything that's like not strictly torso. And I think like we both, you know, work in a way where we start from the center. We start from not necessarily where the pain it is itself. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to look somewhere else too. So it's very interesting because that's not really the case in Hungary. A lot of people don't do that. Even like the therapeutic massage world, they're still in that place knowledge-wise where I'm just going to push where it hurts and we hope for the best, or I'm going to work maybe one joint above and then hope for the best. But not a lot of people, or not even doctors or physical therapists, not a lot of people have that approach where it's like, well, we're going to have to look at your pelvis and your ribcage regardless of what happens on your heel and your knees and everything else. At least we're going to have to look at it too, both. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of like, that's my case study. And it was very interesting to kind of like lead her into this mentality of, well, you know, whatever doesn't happen at the hips or doesn't happen at the knees will happen at the ankle and will happen at the foot. I'm thinking about like internal rotation, external rotation, and where we place the load inside of the body. Why could a heel hurt and I still make her shift back onto your heels more. We're still working on bringing her back so she doesn't walk on her toes. So it's very interesting to kind of like translate all that stuff after she heard very different things, or, you know, looked at very different things on the internet and heard different informations from doctors. So that's what I'm working on. And basically, yeah, my strategics or my plans for this lady is like, yes, I will be working hands-on with the heel, but there's not a lot of things you can do, right? There's inflammation, and you can manipulate the joints and you can work on some soft tissue, but until the inflammation is there, I mean, from the outside, there's not a lot of I can do, right? Like, there's no magic bullet. I'm not doing like steroid shots or anything, like whatever. And we went into the conversation. I was like, okay, it's load distribution. Like, where, you know, where the hurt happens is where there's load that's not supposed to be there, or where there's too much. There's like an overwhelm of load on the tissues that are not available to accept it, or not enough to accept it. And then we could finally lean into the conversation of like, okay, so we need to shift your center of mass back more onto your heels, get into your hips. We're going to have to work on hips because I need that load to be distributed evenly between left and right, and evenly between eversion and inversion, and then external rotation, internal rotation, and inside and outside edge. And it was a whole other conversation about everything. but that's usually my perspective is like, okay, I can deal with whatever it is locally, but then I also have to go to the hip, I have to go to the torso, I have to go to the full body and look at everything, look at muscle strength, because she is not really active. So, you know, just working on muscle strength in quads and hamstrings and calves, and getting this like, you know, chain of command between the joints and getting the muscles to co-activate and work together in a certain motion, and look at gait in the meantime. So it was a long process, and we're still in the middle of it. But that's, I was wondering about like how you go about it when somebody comes to you with like a very certain specific problem, but you know that that's not where the issue is, or not only where the issue is, but some of it is, yes. So how do you kind of like work with that when your clients have expectations? And we know that's the most important, to kind of deal with that and talk about it and bring it up. And then also say my side is like, well, in my studies and in my experience and research, or however you base your knowledge on, we still need to do this and this and this. I can't just rub on your heel and your foot and hope for the best, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting, that's a really interesting balance that you have to strike, and that we all have to strike as practitioners, when we're going between, you know, somebody is like physically, like there's a physical discomfort that has caused them to do anything aside from what they have been doing, right? Like they're showing up to us because they're dealing with something. And I think it's, you know, it's a big challenge to break somebody of that kind of transactional feeling of my foot hurts, so I need to do something to my foot so that my foot feels better, while also acknowledging that doing some stuff to that person's foot probably feels good. Like I think about the you know, when you first talked about it, as like, you know, you have the foot that feels good when it's flexed or when it's load bearing, but feels bad when it's hanging. And then you have the other one that's kind of that more typical like Achilles, mm-hmm. Achilles kind of mm-hmm. like, I mean, if they were a runner, they'd probably say plantar fasciitis. Like they would like, right. the language is so broad there. I would probably help them tease apart those two things, the two mm-hmm. experiences that they're dealing with, going into understanding what makes, you know, what's, what are the pain, like for me, understanding what the, what's the, what are the pain triggers, what are the relief triggers for each of them, and how are those different, and start to take that information and help them arrive at the conclusion, help use that information to help them arrive at the conclusion that I want them to arrive at. Because ultimately I want my client to say, oh yeah, my feet feel wonky and something's up with my hips, right? Assuming that something is up with their hips, right? Like, or at least using that as an avenue, using the information gleaned from their experience to get permission to look at the diaphragm, the hip flexors, like the glutes, to look at those things. So that's probably where I would go. And in my sessions, I am much more interactive than a lot of other therapists that I've worked with. So we have that flexibility to address something locally, and to then pause, check in, and then address something globally. So because of the way that I've set up my sessions, we can test out a lot of different directions to see if they're useful. Mm-hmm. So in my case, it's entirely possible that I would come up to the hips, or kind of walk them through how weight distribution turns into pain, can turn into pain, or can turn into mm-hmm. can turn into a position that's aggravating. Probably by going, what I would normally do is I would take what I find through whatever assessments I'm using, and then I would put myself into an exaggerated version of that position. Like, I'm thinking about that person, and the person I have in my mind, their feet are probably both pointed like relatively forward and a little bit out, but their hips, like I imagine their right hip is probably sitting forward. Mm-hmm. Sitting forward with their left hip, and probably has some kind of anterior medial torsion happening, like kind of the right hip is almost rolling over and the left hip is kind of like sitting back, which is pretty different from what the PRI, like left AIC pattern, mm-hmm. but I'm picturing it as that. If that's what I notice, or that's how they describe it, I'll put myself into that position, and like, it's like, yeah, I can understand why that they'll look at me standing there, and they'll understand, and they'll have a visual that helps them understand why that feels like a bad position, or why there might be why a torque in their hips, or a weight distribution that's a little bit forward, might have a different effect on either leg. And that usually, that because they're already choosing to come into my office, they're already choosing me as the professional that's going to try and get help, right? Like, if with those as givens, that usually gives me enough grounding to say, for them to say, like, okay, cool, yeah, like, let's try it. So that's my first, mm-hmm. if I'm looking globally, that's my first approach. And to complement that, I would also say that most people don't expect to be 100% better after one session. And every good massage therapist has like some things in their back pocket that will give somebody immediate, if temporary, relief on that side that's got the kind of direct loaded heel mm-hmm. pain, that one that sounds more plantar fasciitis thing, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh yeah, if I have you laying face up, and I do like a very long stroke from above your knee, like, and just kind of like let the weight of your leg, and as I kind of like draw my hand down on the underside of your leg mm-hmm. down to your heel, you're probably, and then you flex your ankle while you're doing it, chances are pretty good that you're going to get out of that and be like, oh man, that feels really good.
Yes, it's great.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, cool. If we get that, then like that, if you get that moment, like first, that's like, yes, that's not addressing, that probably is not addressing the source of the problem that they're experiencing, but it is addressing the problem that they're experiencing. Like the reason they're there isn't because there's a root cause. The reason that they're there is because they're in pain. So if we can get them out of pain, even for a couple of minutes, then the possibility of not being in pain is a real thing. And that's important. So especially right. in the yeah, case yeah, of yeah. yours, where the person that you described, where you get this awesome other thing of being potentially being the first practitioner that they've spoken to, that can sit there and just be like, yeah, dude, that sounds horrible. It sounds like you've done a lot of work. It sounds like that can relate to them and help them feel like they've been heard in this situation, like their experience, mm-hmm. like their experience is real. Like the number of people that I have that come in that are like that, you know, maybe they have, I have some clients who have some pretty out there ideas about why things work the way they do or don't work the way they do. I have other people that are really intelligent, and they're on the bleeding edge of research, mm-hmm. and it's like that is like that's their experience of dealing with pain is trying to figure it out, and so like you know every one of those like I don't have to refute someone's beliefs about something mm-hmm. in order to relate to them on a very human level that says you have put a lot of effort into not feeling bad because feeling bad sucks and you've been doing it for a while. So yeah. I think that's kind of my like that's unsurprisingly my long answer to the question of how I would approach it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't think there's a short answer. Or if there's a short answer, that's probably not our style or something, right?
Well, the short
that wouldn't be
exactly the short answer. Either dismisses the pay, it dismisses your client's experience because you're coming in and you're saying, it's not your ankle, right? And then it's just like which is fundamentally no different from you walking into the room and saying you're an idiot. Like you don't know what you're talking about, which like I can promise you that the therapeutic result you're going to get out of that isn't going to be what you want. At the very least, you're digging yourself a hole which you didn't need to dig. Like let's not do that. And right. on the other side you're offering something that's potentially too simple of an answer for somebody that has put a lot of effort into figuring it out. Then you're doing them. Then you'll be doing them a disservice by oversimplifying in your response. Granted, my clients are the ones who I preface all of my new clients with. I have a tendency of saying like this is my script. I have a tendency to talk through stuff. And if that doesn't work for you, that's cool. Just tell me to shut up. It's okay.
Right.
and just by telling somebody what my default is, they're almost to a person, they are appreciative of hearing that thought process because they're living that. They're living their own thought process. At the worst case scenario is that I'm going to add some new information into that and they don't feel alone in it, which is
right.
That has a therapeutic effect. So
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also want to understand, like I bump into all of those people. It's probably because like who shows up in our office, right? Like we're not spa therapists and we're not just one and done Swedish massage or whatever. Like we are ourselves looking for answers, and we get the clients who are also looking for answers and explanations. And I'm in the lucky position too, where it's like, I want to understand this, like keep talking. So right now, like, yeah, I have this too, where like, usually I don't, like I'm coming from the other side. I usually don't explain. I just talk to myself, like in my head. And then I sometimes like I ask them, it's like, okay, so from a 1 to 10 scale, 10 is being me listing out every little things I find, everything, tell you everything, why is that, and da da da, and talking through the whole thing. One being, this is going to be a quiet session. I just do my job. You relax, blah, blah, blah. Where do you want me to be? And that works like wonders, because some people at some sessions, not all the sessions, like I ask them every time, because sometimes they're just like, I'm exhausted today. Stop talking. I just need to chill. Like, just don't even, because this is just adding to my stress. I'm like, okay, cool. And also, like, I give it my kind of judgment call too. Mm-hmm. If I know that for somebody, like, more information is more stressful, I do hold back. And I'm like, we'll talk about this the next time, or the next time after that. Like, it's just slowly drip by drip, like, slower the better.
Yeah.
And then, so this lady is just, emergency cars all the time. This lady, and then like the other thing that you mentioned of absolutely appreciating their journey and how they got there. And because that's why they're in our office, right? Like they already looked somewhere else. They've been through stuff. And I definitely don't want to discredit that, because this also makes my job easier. Kind of like, okay, I can cross that off because that didn't work. So that's helpful. That's a helpful information for me. And how did that make you feel? Okay, so we're not going to do the same thing. We're going to do something else where you can have a different expectations, and where we can kind of like set something up where it is going for success, or at least you don't have negative expectations. Like, you have like a blank canvas, more like, so we can write on, and you don't have anything tweaking it. And then same thing with what you mentioned with the pain stuff. It's like, yeah, again, like we talked about it a million times, like creating space, like creating space and time for that nervous system to calm down, creating space for some healing, creating some hope for them to feel that, oh, it can actually feel better.
Yeah.
So I think it's all valid, and it's like a longer process, but definitely worth it. Practically for this lady, what I'm doing right now with her is that she gets at least one foot exercise every homework session, like every, like she comes like every other week or something. So we're practicing at least one or two foot exercise, working on toes and pronation, supination, and calcaneal movement. Like in and out and side to side, like working on that, working on ankle mobility. So we have some localized stuff to release some of those tissues, like give them some time and space to heal. And she has like 1/3 of it focused locally, and 2/3 of it is about her hips, pelvis, hip flexors, diaphragm, rib cage. She gets like one breathing exercise at least, that's like a full body, just chill out. That's what she starts with. And then this is where the strengthening comes into. Like, once we have that hip mobility, I'm like, okay, well, let's load this, because your hips are fine. So we're going to load this up, and then we're going to put the feet under, and then we're going to have the knee, you know, follow through once the hip and the foot is okay. No knee pain or anything. So I'm like, okay, that's totally normal. We're going to go to the two ends of the stick, and then we're going to shore it up from both sides, basically. And then also give you one exercise that's just like a full body, get your nervous system, get some R&R, get some healing going, and get some time for you just to chill. So that's how, like, practically it kind of like builds up for me.
Yeah. That makes so much sense too. I think that splitting it up in that a third to 2/3 makes a lot of sense. And as when you said that, I was starting to reflect back. I reflected back on some of the sessions that I've had lately, where people are coming in for specific things. And yeah, I think that gives someone that gives somebody the assurance that you are trying, that you're on their side, and you're not just like paying lip service to to the reason that they're there. Like, you're actually doing something. And I think for me, at least, having that explanation of why I want to look globally in addition to looking locally, it gives me, that feels like it gives me permission to do that. I also will just have people fall asleep on my table and like, you know, and I won't like talk through it, which is totally great. I like having that. It's just my default is to talk, but you know, you obviously there is like, you know, the vibe of the day is also like, you know, sometimes people come in and they're sometimes, you know, sometimes it's the right thing and sometimes it's not the right thing. And it's just fine. It's just fine either way.
And it's sometimes it's my vibe. Sometimes I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope,
I don't have
no brain here today.
Yeah,
no, no.
Yeah. Today, no, no. today's going to be a lot of craniosacral work. And like,
yeah, you're going to fall asleep real quick.
and you know, what's amazing is like, it all works. Like it all fits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what have the results been like for this person?
So far it's been great. So she came in with both heel like actually being painful to the point where she can't walk or like she's shuffling around basically, being painful. So right now the Healy side, which been like, it's been, let's say 6 weeks, on and off kind of. And then the Healy's pain is now where it's like, it's a tension, it's a pull, it's a stretch, but it's not painful. So that's good. I'm okay with that because like it's tendon healing time is forever.
Tendons are slow.
It's just going to take forever.
Yeah.
And same thing with the other heel that just has pain when she hangs it off. Right now, she only has pain if she like walks twice as much as three times as much as she usually does, or goes to a wedding and dances all night in high heels or whatever, you know?
Cool.
So now it's to the point where like, normally she's okay, and if she overdoes it still hurts, but it's again, it's more like discomfort than actual pain. So we're definitely getting, and she loves the exercises, she loves the strengthening and the hip and everything, and she keeps doing them. She's like, I'm getting stronger. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, that turns out that actually helps things. Yeah,
that helps. Yeah, exactly.
And that what's cool is that you also don't know if like if there is a change in her objective experience, right? Like the tension, like if you were to look at the tension in that tendon, and you were to look at I forget what the name of the device is, but if you look at the tension that's there, or like, you know, the things that ultimately were aggravating, that were causing pain on both of her heels, those could be the same. And now her subjective experience of them, because now that she's introducing new sensations through strength training, through positional work, through that, like that really, she's starting to feel what like a downregulated nervous system feels like. All of those things are going to influence her subjective experience of her heels. And they're going to, and that richness of language is going to make this, is going to improve the quality of her filter of how this feels. So it, like, that's like, that was where I feel like this whole thing is such a Jedi mind trick, is that like, oh yeah, I can't change, I can't change someone's tissue. I can like influence their nervous system to change their tissue, but I can't change it. Like, I don't, like, what makes me think I'm that good?
It's not the tissue that we're changing that we think we're changing.
Yeah, exactly. It's
brain tissue.
Nice. There you go. And it's like, that's something I've been really having fun with, that because I can come in being even more broadly like, I have no idea why this works, but I think it does. And in my experience, it works really well. And in your experience, it seems like it's working. So who cares?
Have at it. Enjoy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we're on the right track. I love that. So
that's great.
That's all I wanted to say about this. Like, it's so interesting that, you know, everything, I always feel like everything comes back to the same ideas, right? Like wherever we start, it's kind of like coming back to the center and coming back to the nervous system and coming back to an actual human being. And ultimately the answer is that.
Yeah.
So
everything is built off the same foundation. Right. So if we can, once we shore up the foundation, then we can start looking at the local stuff, and there's, and at the same time, we need to do something locally to actually honor our client's experience and their, right. their lived, ex, their like to focus solely on our belief system, excludes their belief system. And mm-hmm. what we need to do is with a client, we need to come together and create something new. And that's mm-hmm. where we as practitioners can really add a lot of value. And I think it's also where I think that's also the direction that all of our industry is going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your opinion and your input too. And then thank you all for listening. We'll be back. And if you have any questions, please have at us, email us, text us, share our podcast with anybody you know, if you find it interesting. And you can also give us a rating, I assume. So you can do that too. See you guys next time.
's for taking the time to listen to this episode of Hands at the Table. If you got something out of this episode, have comments or topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know by tagging us on Instagram. Bori is at restore_revive_therapy, and Jeff is at Just Breathe Manual Therapy. We'd also appreciate if you can take a minute to leave us a rating, like, or review wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. We'll see you next week.